Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Once again, Mid-Flight Brawl is brought to you by our good mates at Heaps Normal. Delicious, independent, non-alcoholic beer. Get to heapsnormal.com, chuck in duty-free at checkout and get yourself some bloody delicious non-alcoholic free beers delivered anywhere in Australia with free shipping. Duty-free at checkout. I've been absolutely smashing them, Heggy, the lead-up to this taping.
Great.
Don't want to put a plug in a plug, but...
Well, why not?
Fuck. Big old recycling bin full of these bad boys.
Jeffrey thing must go. Got to do your plugs, mate.
Well, someone's got to do them. That's how we get fucking paid around here.
Well, yeah.
HeapsNormal.com. Get them in ya.
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees and fracasses. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty-free and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a scoot flight from the Gulf
at LAX. Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started the
I hope this crashes. Out the fucking door!
Welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rat can fly now, and here's what happens when they do. I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. How you going, mate?
Oh, we've got him. The magic of the internet. You're back. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Beautiful. Gay Pally is there, living it up.
Wow, I'm not actually.
Where are you?
I'm in the south.
Oh, the south of France.
Yes.
Know that from a few rap songs. Look out.
They go down there now, do they?
Are you popping bottles in the south of France, Heggy?
Your mates. They do names down here, yeah. No, I was just in Limousin, Limoges, where they have very special cows, in fact. Ate one. You know what they don't do here? Toppers.
Oh, fuck.
They haven't joined the future.
Not some fucking grilled snail toppers?
No. Man, that'd cut sick at a posh Aussie restaurant, snail toppers.
Stinky cheese and some fucking snail toppers, thanks. living it up over in France. Hope it's all going well, mate. Hope you're having a fun little bloody holiday.
Yeah, it's great. I'm down at the factory now where my kids work sometimes.
What, making iPhones and stuff? What have you got them doing?
Bright and, oh, man, speaking of phones, mine pretty much, it's... You know when they sort of start to...
Hold on, man. Sorry. You're about to tell me a thing I told you 5 months ago when the only button on the fucking phone stopped working and you go, it's all right. A listener of ours, Roars, good top bloke, he sorted me out with a digital button.
Yeah.
So I don't need a button anymore. And you go, I reckon you will need a button at some point.
No, it's not the
button.
That
will give in.
Problems are running deeper than the button. You know how they inflate and the sort of sides start to pop out of a phone?
What?
And it's just, and then you just got to keep it plugged in all the time. It's not even a mobile anymore. It's just plugged in. It's at that stage.
What do you mean they inflate like a fucking old milk that you've left in the fridge? The carton's gone all puffy.
You can't really see that, can you? Yeah, it's pretty much exactly that. It's all puffy. So the screen's about to crack because it's puffed up. I don't know how. I don't know what's happened. Still just working.
Even your phone's put a little bit of holiday weight on, eh?
Yeah.
Look out, everyone blows up a bit when they're on holidays. A little bit cheeky.
Yeah, I'll sort it out. There'll be some way to fix it. I'll put it in between two heavy books.
So it's last week we blamed it on, we said maybe baguette crumbs had gotten into the PowerPoint and that's why you couldn't talk to me on the internet.
Oh, right. No.
People theorising.
Yeah. Some technical
drop the croissant on the computer.
I was out in the country. I'll send you some photos. You can see it, like the more picturesque your location, the less chance you have of having good internet.
Oh, mate, I assume you've got
any photos you're going to send me are not of a picturesque French countryside. It's going to be, look how big this dog shit was that I saw at a park or something.
Yeah. It is fabled for that, France. A lot of people come back and go, yeah, it's dog shit everywhere. It smells like piss. It smells like piss. That's a common complaint.
Really? It smells like piss?
Yeah.
I've been a couple of times.
Oh, Paris can, yeah. But then public toilets are ugly, aren't they? You can't see piss in a postcard.
No.
So, you know, swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
That's why I just get on the darts. Get rid of that sense of smell and taste. Good to go.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they're all just darting on.
It's long COVID. Never smell anything ever again. The downfall of Michael Hutchence.
Before we get into this episode, we do have some live shows coming up. Our show in the Paris of the South, Brisbane.
Oh, yeah.
The live show September 10th.
Yeah.
Sold out. Nothing left.
Oh, yeah.
All tickets gone.
Nice.
So that is great. We're doing a stand-up show that same night. Get on the Good Chat comedy website to find info there. We'll be at Live Midflight Brawl doing Grapes of Mirth, Barossa Valley, October 29, and we're lining up some other dates as well at the minute.
Yeah. Chances, Sydney listeners, keep tuned of a sneaky Sydney show coming up very soon, but we'll give details of that next week.
Very special date. You will not forget it. You will never forget this date.
Speaking of listeners and our trusty patrons, I floated this with you the other day. I didn't get a response. Was thinking about having a poll among the people who pay for how long the Gone Too Soons should be played.
If somehow you're joining this show for the very first time, 120 odd episodes in, when someone passes away, we play a snippet, the Michael Jackson song, Gone Too Soon. There's many different ones.
Yeah, like don't. We don't need them all. Don't know. Why? People know what it is.
Well, this is the point. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, they do.
There's that one, and there's this one.
If someone is coming in at this late stage, they'll think, oh, that's quite cool. Yeah, great. It's not.
Stop talking over it.
Doing a one.
Yeah, so you want to know, we'll put up a poll on the Patreon. Do you like the full-length version of those clips? You really want them cut down, don't you?
Yeah, it's just a pain in the ass. It's awful. And I'm receiving complaints. So,
are you?
Yeah. About you. No. Fuck. Just about that.
I am the button pusher.
Yeah. So we'll be amongst that, and hopefully there'll be a resolution soon, and I don't want any fucking bullshit around the polling process like Trump
and
the Russians.
A simple storm the Capitol, MFB yes. HQ, so it was faked. It was a bullshit poll.
Yes.
Simple yes, no, I reckon. Simple long version, short version.
Yes.
That's it.
Yep.
Patreon.com/midflightbrawl. All of your bonus content as well.
I would personally sign up and just pay $10 once just to vote and then get out of that if it were me as a freeloader.
If you're annoyed enough.
Yeah. Yep.
Fuck, that'd be funny to see a few of those that month. The little exit poll at the end. I've said my piece.
Yeah. That'd sort out capitalism. In the end, wouldn't it? If you got to pay to vote.
Pay to vote.
I mean, that'd get like be the final, you know, final rung on the ladder of capitalism. Pay to vote. Sick.
Or you've got to watch ads. If you're not going to pay for it, you've got to watch ads.
Yeah.
Before you're allowed to put the ballot form into the box.
Man, it's fine. The lower classes love ads.
Oh, yeah.
They live for it. They sing them. Kids sing ads and shit now. It's awful.
Yeah. And they're shit ads now.
Terrible.
You know?
Oh. Gone are the days.
Lubemobile or
Lubemobile, yeah. We fixed the car. Those Lubemobile kids, they'd be my age, I reckon. That's probably ruined their lives.
Told you once a mate and I pretended he was the young kid in the was it AAMI? At the Crocodile came out, ripped me into parts, pieces. Little four-year-old kid is telling this story about.
Yeah, don't know.
Yeah, ripped me into parts, pieces. My head went that way. My legs went that way.
Yeah.
HBA,
That's what it was. It was this little. It was like a private private healthcare ad.
One of your more bespoke insurance agencies. Yes.
Yeah, and this little 4-year-old kid apparently just got his older brother in there to rile him up by telling bullshit stories, and then the 4-year-old tried to join in, and they just filmed that and turned one of them into an ad, and we pretended that my mate was that bloke.
Oh, nice.
But all grown up.
How'd that go?
Just to annoy some fucking pissed people at a pub.
Oh, it's the new I'm a helicopter pilot. He's pretending he's a child actor.
Well, may we, before we kick into this episode each week, of course, if we are in separate cities, we're on Zoom at the minute. You've got yourself a very classy Zoom background. They always have a grim story behind each and every one of them. This one seems no different. First of all, black and white photo, heaps of shit out the front of this fucking house. I was going to say it's a really old photo, but it's not. It's got one of those tiny trampolines I can see on the porch.
Yeah.
Like someone's doing fucking jazzercise or something in the house.
Yeah, it's at an angle that suggests it's not been used for a while, though. It's just piled on top of shit.
Real hoarder front porch here.
Oh,
can you move to the side a bit so I can see these cops? I want to figure out.
All right.
Hang on. Oh, man, I've got no idea. It does look Australian. It's got a look, English?
It's the other one. No.
What?
Kiwi.
Oh, New Zealand. Wow.
Yeah.
They're doing murders there now.
Oh, they were in 1994.
What happened there?
Well, this is beautiful Dunedin, Otago. For the New Zealand listeners, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a Bain residence where one young David Bain went out on a paper route.
Mate, this is the first time you've smiled in an episode in ages. Big smile. Eyes are wide. Your fucking pupils are dilated. You're pumped up to talk about this bloke. I've never heard of him.
No.
David Bain.
Oh, that's a very interesting story. They burnt this house down after it just to get rid of all the bad, the bad vibes.
Yeah.
And all that evidence for the retrial, obviously, gone. Just 5 people of his family, all dead. He was out delivering papers.
Oh.
Got convicted, but then got appealed and got off. So
sorted.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
every cloud.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. I did read a book about him, actually. There's an ex-All Black who got on his case, obviously. That's what they do in retirement. And it's a bit of that Innocence Project sort of feel to it. And he got him off in the end. And probably fair enough, to be honest, from what I read. But who knows? I don't know. Wasn't there, was I?
You reckon he didn't do anything wrong?
It's hard to tell. I mean, they gave him nearly $1 million and said, look, we think you're guilty, but we want to get rid of this case.
Yeah, well.
Because that fucking All Black bloke just keeps coming back like they do. So, but yeah, he's minus 5 family members. Anyway. If you did do it, good job, David. You got away with it. But I don't know that he did.
I've got to look this bloke up.
I think it was the dad.
Where's the dad?
The dad, Daddy Bones.
Oh, he was in the 5 in the house?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, so this kid was young. This bloke was young when it happened?
Yeah, he's like a music student with a paper route. He's about 20, maybe, 19, 20. And he was the oldest kid. And not a happy household.
I reckon paper route, that's probably the latest age you can do it, 20, and then you can get back into it, 55, I reckon.
I'd pull up stumps about 16,
I was just trying to help him out. Did. He's lost 5 family members. I don't want to fucking knock his job as well. I bumped up I bumped up what I found acceptable just to help him out, you know.
Yeah, you've been very, very generous there. Very generous.
All right, shall we get stuck into this ep?
Yep.
Let's do it.
All right, mate. This week we're looking at Air France, in fact, Flight 8, October 16, 2008.
Flight 8, flight number 8. This is going to be a big one.
Oh, yeah. Classy. Paris, France to New York, New York.
Ooh.
No less. And not only classy, we're headed back up to the front end of the plane where grubbery exists just as well as the back.
Oh, yeah.
Slightly different attitude toward it, but class doesn't discriminate when it comes to grubs. It's like cancer, isn't it?
As I've always said, they're both going to rob you. It's just one will take your fucking wallet and the other will take your super.
We'll so, take everything and get a one. Clap on the back for it and a new office. That gold watch that could have belonged to you. Yeah, man, quite a high-class affair here. Matthias Gerond Hermès, heir to the French fashion house Hermès, which I forthwith shall pronounce as Hermes, because that's what we would do. And you sound less racist just mispronouncing stuff these days than you do doing it properly, and less of a wanker.
So how do you say it? Hermès?
Yes.
Yeah, but that makes Hermes. Sense. Hermes. Fucking Hermes. Mate, Hermes. Nice Hermes hoodie. By the way, all of these brands now, Gucci, Hermes, they're all just in the fucking hoodies game.
Do Hermes make hoodies?
Oh, mate, one of them will have a fucking tracksuit. Everyone.
A Louis Vuitton tracksuit? I think there is.
Yeah, of course, because of cryptocurrency and house prices going up so much. There's a lot of new money with no fucking class behind it.
Yeah.
And here they come straight into a fucking Hermes store.
Oh, they'll do anything. They will do anything. It really shows they'll do anything for money. Mercedes make fucking hatchbacks, mate. That's where we are. Like anyone will do anything for money. That's what's happened. Fucking shameless.
Man, there's a fucking Avalon bath towel and there's baby clothes. Hermes hooded bath towel. Oh, they do everything.
Fucking hell.
Hermes.
Good on them. Well, one of the heirs is our protagonist today. And tell you what, we're churning through the fashion houses. About every 40 episodes average, we'll have a rich kid from a famous fashion brand on this very podcast. So go back and check out. We have the Ralph Lauren niece. We had Hilton, that's not fashion, is it? Hotels, same sort of vibe, isn't it?
It's always that. What is it? The first generation earns it. The second one holds onto it. The third generation blows it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
nice to see. Well, it's fine.
Where's what? Your just grandkids? Natural order. Yeah, they'll be the cunts.
Matthias, bit of background on him. He's got a brother, Olaf, who's the other heir to the billion-dollar family business. Olaf currently leases a property on Malibu Beach for $120,000 a month with his wife, Eva, and their two children. Most interesting thing about Olaf
is that he's renting.
Yeah.
That always gets me. I'm like, what's the catch there? They could, but what is the fucking catch? They're not renting.
A month. Crazy.
But they're not renting just to rent. There's some slippery, fucking sneaky.
Oh, it's leasing a Lexus situation. One of those mob. Yeah, you're up to something, aren't you? Don't know what it is yet, but you're up to something. Have you seen an old man near a fucking zebra crossing?
Just quickly, I'm on the Hermes website.
Yep.
They've got a Hermes bespoke workshop.
Oh, bespoke.
Yeah.
Bespoke. The word bespoke has definitely been commandeered by these types of people.
This there looks like a longboard type of thing. They're making everything. Fragrances and makeup, jewelry and watches, home, outdoor and equestrian.
Whatever.
They've also got dog stuff. I'll give it to you. Cash. How much for a Hermes small dog bowl?
Hermes small dog bowl?
Small. Not big dog bowl, small dog bowl.
In US dollars?
Australian.
Australian dollars? 476.
Ooh. I like that you had a go. $1,720.
Jesus Christ. What's it got?
The large bowl, $1,795. Who's not just paying the extra $75 for the big dog bowl?
Well, someone with a little dog with those stupid floppy ears that get wet.
Well, there is a very little dog. It's just a dog bowl with two compartments. That's it.
Right. So just reeks of gold-plated cattle prod, doesn't it?
This would be a really good Price is Right, actually, that last level where you've got to put the things in.
Yeah.
1 to 10.
Absolutely no chance. Gucci hoodie.
Hermes carrying bag for a dog?
Yep. Oh, Hermes Price. Carrying bag for a dog. Oh, it's got to be more than a bowl. I'd say $2,892.
Boy, mate. $3,965.
Jesus Christ. in with the show there. Olaf, Matthias's brother, the most interesting thing about Olaf ever is that in 2003, a judge called him a deadbeat dad after he failed to pay $700K, a few months' rent there, in child support to his estranged wife, Olga, and their two kids after a divorce.
Now, before deadbeat dad gets chucked around, the fact that that's even a number that the bloke could possibly pay means that he must be all right. No one's destitute. Yeah. How many months or years is he owed there?
Oh, I don't know. Didn't get to the bottom of it. I just knew it was 700K. Probably.
Well, if it's, I was going to say, if it's under 70 years worth, I reckon he.
Yeah.
700 grand.
Yeah. Fuck. He got divorced after Olga found out he was having an affair with his now wife, Eva.
Oh, so, that's all right. Love.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. True love. The dad, Matthias's father, Patrick, is a French sports entrepreneur and billionaire. In 2001, Forbes magazine ranked him 387th richest man in the world. It's generational money, this, but in the 50s, he was in Morocco as a cavalryman. 30 years later, he went back and bought Anne Casimou, a villa bought for a relative of Leo Tolstoy, no less, as a surprise for his wife and two sons. But then it got redeveloped as part of a royal polo club that he was president of. Fucking loves polo in Morocco more than his boys, this bloke. The two boys can't fucking wait for the old coot to buy the farm.
Moroccan polo just sounds like slang for some sort of upper drug.
Yeah.
Get on the old fucking Moroccan polo. You'll be right. Couple of these Moroccan polos, you'll be back in the game.
You know those old blokes, so the like billionaire types, they just won't die, will they? He's 90, still at the helm. Hardy old bastards, that generational billionaire type. Stay alive in the end just to spite their stupid freeloading sons when they could just leave their fashion houses to the Cat Society or something anyway and spite them and watch everyone fight from the grave.
Why would you die if you've got billions of dollars and you're fucking playing polo and I assume have a 35-year-old girlfriend? You just hang on.
Yeah.
I think most people die because they're bored and they're out of cash.
Oh, you reckon? All you could do is stay interested. You'll be alive forever. That's how it works. Scientists. Hermes, the fashion house, Hermes, famous for its leather bags and other assorted shit such as dog bowls.
Rocker bar and, 2 dog collar, 925 AU.
Fucking hell. Gold-plated toilet brushes, shit like this. Started out as a saddlery, a bit like Greg Grant's in Brisbane. Expanded over generations. And eventually spawned a bunch of fuckwit rich kids who do very little. We all know the type. Bit of a problem, isn't it, that?
Oh.
But no one wants to be a povo, and yet under no circumstances do you want your kids growing up rich, like invariably turn out as fuckheads.
But that's I think people do want their kids not to do much and just enjoy themselves. Like they don't look around at anyone else who may have annoyed them in the past and gone, is this what I'm making? Another one of these.
Oh, I think it's a great conundrum. Not much worse than fronting up at kindy and some little fuckstick kid's got a Ralph Lauren popped collar, in my experience. Already negotiating how to get himself a better little lunch than the other kids. Get fucked. And getting a clap on the back from his dad. I've never seen one turn out great.
Nah, they're always the ones, and I believe I've spoken about these dad-son combos in previous episodes where the 48-year-old dad and the 3-year-old son both have the same haircut. They're both fucking high fade.
Oh, yeah.
They've gone to the barber and they've gotten the same do. Fucking absolute cunts.
I mean, it would never be an option, but if it were an option to ever have a beer with a billionaire, it'd be the worst. It'd be a bad night.
Like, you reckon?
They'd be terrible company. Just, yeah, psychopath, fucking pieces of shit, obviously, no good. This is a little bit that the man got back though. In the summer of 2011, a $20 million Hermes counterfeiting ring was busted.
Oh, no.
Hermes employees were involved. They were making the counterfeits using materials they'd stolen from the workshops to make them realistic so people couldn't tell they were fakes.
Sounds like they're real Hermes.
Yeah.
If the people who make them stole the stuff they make it with and then make them,
yeah,
that's fucking just Hermes.
Overtime handbags. Whatever. Working late at the factory.
That's Hermes. That's not a ripoff.
Get out what you put in. I'm told, I feel the same about watches. I get told that they're fakes so good. You pretty much have to be a 100-year-old Swiss Nazi to tell the difference. Why would you buy a fucking real one if that's the case? Dinner table conversation piece, no more, no less. Like your watch worth $50,000 is exactly the same as the watch that's been faked. That's $3,000. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Billionaire money.
I think that, again, too much cash. Correct. You don't even wear a watch, do you?
No. Got a phone in my pocket. Keeps pretty good time, I think you'll find.
If you're relying
on. If I don't have it, I ask someone.
Your fucking busted phone to tell you the time, man. Who knows what numbers that thing's spitting out?
With this ring, right, the head of Committee Colbert, the French Luxury Goods Association, said when counterfeiting was artisanal, it didn't bother us so much. So even he respects that they just stole shit and were artisan thieves. 3 months after the close of the trial, though, the various defendants were criminally charged, ranging from 6 months of suspended jail time to a 3-year sentence. And, cop this, the most severe penalty went to the ringleader, who was tried by the French court, despite not appearing or responding to the legal proceedings. So there's an active arrest warrant out for him. He obviously doesn't care.
Love it.
And he's not on fucking Interpol. It's Hermes. No one gives a fuck.
That's very French. It is very French to be in jail. And it's like, what are you in here for? Oh, just a couple of artisanal crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking here we go. This bloke.
Well, this guy's not even in jail. He hasn't played by the rules. If you don't, you don't have to acknowledge you've done anything wrong. It's not a bad way to live. A lot of people live like that. Similar to when you see a millennial agitator such as yourself debating modern gender roles or something on Twitter with a rugby league player or something like that. And they'll say, look, you have to think about how we're all equal, need to respect and celebrate each other, unlike you've been doing. And he'll say, yeah, well, you're fucking ugly. That are the same parameters. You don't have to be judged by the same factors.
Hey, what do you think about the Ricky Stewart?
Oh, pretty good. Just deriding some kid on another team.
Oh, mate. Yeah. So apparently, if you haven't heard, Ricky Stewart is a rugby league. He's a rugby league coach. He called a player from an opposing team a weak gutted dog.
Yes,
because this player kicked one of his players during a game, and he said, "I've had history with that kid. I know that kid very well. He's a weak gutted dog as a kid, and he hasn't changed now. He's a weak gutted dog person now." But apparently, the bloke had said that the player had said something about his daughter, and the kid was a junior.
Yeah. Plot thickens.
Mm.
A classic rugby league love story.
You know what I love, though? Everyone's focused on, can you believe the coach called him a weak-gutted dog? The coach might be the first time a coach has been suspended.
Yeah.
And they're just forgetting the actual weak-gutted dog who up-kicked the fucking player in the head with the boots. That's gone to the side, don't worry. It's the old sticks and stones reversal.
Yeah. Well, that's where we are, isn't it? Doesn't matter.
What a time.
At the time of today's incident, 2008, Matthias was 37 years old. And you know what his bio reads as? Not beyond the realm of possibility, yours will be the same three things one day.
I'm going to get the dinger ready for this.
Yeah.
It's lining up to be pretty good.
Three things. Socialite. Polo.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Player. realtor. Imagine that.
You know what, though? I respect it.
Why?
I respect it because he's on the front foot with his country versus the rest of them going free thinker, father, husband.
Philanthropist.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew there were more lines there. Imagine your dad, billionaire or not, reading that. You're a what, son? You're a fucking what? You think my great-grandfather made saddles in the dust in the 1800s so you could socialise for a job? Rack off. Go mow the lawn, boy. You idiot.
Get your Hermes lawnmower out, your $12,000 Hermes lawnmower, and go fucking sort out. Don't forget the Hermes whippersnipper for the edges, $9,000. Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, polo is an interesting one. As a polo player, you don't have to be particularly athletic. I
wouldn't even know. I've never seen a second of it. I've seen photos of people in the gear, but I've never – oh, you know what? That's a lie. I reckon I've seen maybe a three-second clip of a fat James Packer having a go.
Man, I saw a picture once of Kerry Packer riding a polo horse, and the horse's eyes were bulging. It was on its front knees. If it didn't get put down within 5 minutes of that photo being taken, I'm not here.
Put itself down, ran off a cliff.
Even if the horse did recover, there's no way the great man Kerry Packer had let a creature live after disrespecting him like that. It just buckled under him.
It walked itself into the green tent.
Yeah.
Oi, Mr. Red Style, where's that green tent?
I mean,
I'm done.
That's if we're talking about billionaire fathers, I'd be surprised if Kerry Francis Bullmore Packer didn't get offered Australian of the Year at some stage, and he would have declined because he's not an idiot.
Oh, a few people have hit us up about the Father of the Year, the best one,
Dean Jones.
Dean Jones,
beauty, Victorian Father of the Year, your mate.
He was Victorian Father of the Year, was he?
Mm.
Still a good effort, Dean Jones, the cricketer, if you don't know. Well, he had it revoked after a secret love child scandal.
Okay. I think Kerry Packer, he would have known that it had come out among many other forms of mental abuse, that he used to ramp up the bowling machine to 150 kph for a spell in the nets with the 13-year-old James trying to bat. Remember that?
No.
Oh. Jesus.
Put it to 150k an hour.
Yeah, just toughen him up. Had the reverse effect from what I've seen. There's an unsubstantiated rumour too, in fact, that Kerry Packer used to call his son Fudge. I wouldn't stand behind that. Don't know where I heard it, probably from you.
It's up there with Yorick.
Speaking of child abuse, getting your kids into the public arena, bad idea. Well, the stage has got to be the worst. That's terrible. Oh, yeah. Terrible place for a kid to be. I don't know why it's ever been allowed, really. The stats are in and the kids turn out like shit as adults every single time.
Yeah, there's only a handful. I love those stories of the, and again, I'm sure I've spoken about it, but where are they now?
Yeah.
It's like this child superstar, never heard from again. You go, great. He's probably a fucking normal functioning adult.
Yeah.
And some of them actually get out all right, I think. The numbers are low.
Man, usually not so good though. They should just use dolls for babies like they do in sitcoms and like, you know, dwarves and jockeys and people like Gary Coleman. They could use the work since we can't throw them in anymore for sport. That's got to be healthier mentally than using kids and ruining lives. I don't know. Say what you want.
Oh, definitely. Or just young, like there'd be 25-year-old actors now that look fucking 12. That's what they all end up doing anyway.
Yeah.
The people on Glee are like 37 pretending they're in a high school fucking band. It's fine. No one cares. You don't need an under 18 in there.
Yeah. CGI, I mean, who gives a shit? So, something I recently read, right? Natalie Wood, the child actor who grew up shithouse and married Robert Wagner, who went on to kill her on a boat with Christopher Walken. All allegedly.
Yep.
And it's good a timely reminder for the dickheads out there. This whole podcast is about things that are alleged to have happened, even if they definitely did, like OJ killing two innocent people.
We should just record an allegedly bed. Just allegedly, allegedly, allegedly. And you can just play it underneath. Oh, allegedly, allegedly.
Just really quiet in the background going, no, covered. Allegedly, allegedly. We might have to overlay the whole thing with that, to be honest. Allegedly. Everything but OJ and the Port Arthur massacre, which definitely happened, are alleged. Natalie Wood, though, when she was 5 years old, she was acting away, as they do, and she was required to cry for a scene. And her responsible guardian, her mum, was on set, obviously.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to let an unattended five-year-old in that world. You never know what might happen. So her mum did what any other mother would do in a situation where their child needs to cry, and now what did she do?
I'm going to have to say pinch her.
No, she's not a Neanderthal. What she did was she caught a butterfly and ripped it apart in front of her. Job done. Everyone wins.
Woo! Fuck it.
Your mate.
Oh, grim.
I mean, I've done that to make Charlie put toys away, but that's to clean up the lounge room. That's got nothing to do with this. That's not an honour job. Acting.
It's not for personal gain.
Yeah.
It's not just a psycho. Stuff done. Mm. Yeah. Man. I mean, not that Natalie Wood's mum's totally responsible for this, but there are definitely fewer butterflies around now, I've noticed. Like in the city, they're a bugger all.
Yeah.
Hardly see them.
Well, they're all at Melbourne Zoo. There's a big room of them there.
Is that what they do? She's got a big net.
You reckon the mums, if you find that scene, do you reckon the mums get like wiped the tears away with their thumbs and left a bit of fucking wing dust, a little bit of butterfly wing dust on the looking like a gridiron player with the paint underneath?
Oh. Man. At the time, 2008, we've got to get in this incident.
Oh,
Matthias
yeah.
was He was also he's the founder of investment capital firm Blue Growth Capital.
Oh, here we go.
That stayed off the bio, as did his father of two status.
Unless he named it after Valium, not Valium, Viagra pills. That's pretty good.
Blue Growth Capital.
Give it the old Blue Growth.
I mean, you want people to think that Blue Growth Capital isn't just another faceless, greedy investment firm with capitalism literally displayed in the title, but you've got to let the idiots whose money you're going to use to steal other people's money know that you're just like them, a parent, a father, no less, the great leveler. You want them to think, how does he fit it all in, all that conjuring money from thin air and responsible parenting, such as turning a bowling machine up to Jeff Thompson and aiming it at your soft son to toughen the bastard up?
I don't know why Packer bothered with the bowling machine. You could have just got the Australian cricket team in.
Yeah, probably. Hold a gun to Brett Lee's head and say, bowl at my son, fast as you can.
All bounces.
I mean, old dad shouldn't have this much money. This is the sort of shit they do to their kids. They're so bored with making money, like, I'm going to torture my kids. So what else is left? Bored everything else. Another accolade that Matthias possesses, besides the basic human function of reproducing, is the gold medal of the French National Academy of Sports for being a European polo champion.
Oh.
Again, man of the people. I want to know that my hedge fund operator is one of us, just a hard-working bloke who likes to knock top off an icy cold vintage champagne after a hard day's yakka, one of them. Put your chucker down and have a Hermes glass, solid gold, full of, you know, blood of a slave or something. Matthias, at the time of today's incident, was expected to become a major shareholder in the family business. All he had to do was wait until his 90-year-old father passed away. Keep your head down, buddy. Don't do anything stupid and it'll all be yours. But no.
Can't help themselves.
Oh, he's flying to New York to celebrate his 37th birthday. The big one that everyone talks about. The mighty 37th.
So a French number's different or something. What's going on here? Why is 37 a big one? Nah, it's just a fuckhead.
Dickhead thing to do.
37th.
I've made myself quite clear with birthdays and adults grow up. It's like teenagers throwing a going away party for themselves when they're leaving for 3 weeks to New Zealand. Rack off. Anyway, a nearly 37 Matthias. He's on the plane. It's taken off as per the flight plan. no anomalies, nothing remarkable, until how many hours in do you reckon?
I'm going to go with 3.
Yep.
Magic number, yeah it is, it's the magic number, somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity, you'll get 3, it's the magic number.
Oh, already over the blue, well past France's version of Shannon Biarritz. Or if you're heading this way, maybe one of the African nations they helpfully invaded and showed how to make bread. You'd get dropped off in one of them probably if you're coming to Australia and you pulled a stunt like this. There were some reports Matthias had consumed a bit of booze by that stage. I mean, I don't hang out up in first class, obviously, but RSA doesn't apply up there, does it?
Fuck, you wouldn't hope so. That might, what, it'd have to be a, you know, $10,000 ticket.
Yeah, more.
Just give me the bottle. What are you even doing? Why are you giving me a glass? Just give me a straw.
He also, on top of this, he indulged in a prescription drug called Propofan. Why not?
Oh, Propofan, is that the Michael Jackson?
Oh, is it? Conrad. Gave him not our hold Conrad. On. Dr. Conrad.
Not Propofol? Do you mean Propofol?
I don't think so. I think it's Propofan. It's a, well.
Oh, no, there maybe. Is Propofan.
Yeah.
Pain reliever that suppresses or reduces pain.
Yeah,
by a double action on the central nervous system and the peripheral nervous system. Double just chucking action. Double action. Yep.
Yes.
No, propofol is the Michael Jackson one. That's the one my used to put you to sleep and keep you asleep during general anesthesia for surgery.
Right.
And, mission accomplished. But my mum, when she's she's gone in for heart surgeries lately, always says, "Can I have some of my Michael Jackson milk?"
Nice.
That's what he called it, my milk. He wanted his milk. I'm a fan.
Well, yet another fucking child star, you know, bucked the trend, turned out superbly. Only one thing to do, though, when you maggot in first class on your 37th, it's not his fault, obviously. It's Propofan's fault.
You know what? I'm not going to do it because I've missed the chance here, but we actually spoke about Michael Jackson dying and didn't play a snippet from Gone Too Soon.
Do you reckon they played Gone Too Soon at MJ's funeral?
Who knows?
Because you couldn't. Well, you play it now. You just said you weren't going to do it. You've done it.
I'll stop it.
Unfair. Propofan, like you said, it's double pain. It's said to be a bit like aspirin. But it's a prescription one. I don't need a prescription for aspirin. If I've got a fucking blinder of a headache, I'll just take more of it without having to go to the chemist. Done. So
double action to me suggests some sort of script. You need something.
But you don't. Just have more aspirin.
Mm.
That's it. Don't be a dickhead. It sounds more complex than an aspirin. Matthias went and sat on the armrest of a female passenger who was sitting near him in the first class cabin. What else is there to do? Get the party started. Step up. No one else is going to do it, are they? It's his 37th. Who was she sitting next to? Only her very own sleeping husband. The woman woke her husband up, who asked him to leave. He refused. He moved closer. Don't tell Matthias what to do. Who do you think you are, Dad? As some members of the flight crew intervened. The captain was made aware. He's left his station and stepped in to ask Matthias to calm down. Big mistake. And I have to say, I'm probably with Matthias here, calm down or relax. Worst things you can say to someone when they're upset.
And rich.
Well, that's provided you're not a violent man or woman, obviously.
It's probably, he's just never heard no. So he's confused. He's already drunk.
Yeah.
It's like talking to me in Swahili. I got no idea.
None of us like to be told to calm down, relax. It's the worst thing. Try saying it to a woman, see what happens. Jesus Christ. it's a presumption that things are going to escalate. That's what's not on for me. Has the opposite effect on someone who isn't violent in the first place.
I'm telling you, I've only ever told my wife to calm down twice, and that was just to give her enough rage to push both of our children out.
Yeah, right. Look, calm down. I'm trying to listen to my transistor. Race four's on. Matthias got escorted by the captain to a seat several rows behind his original. Sounds like a different class to me. Are there more than several rows in first class?
I don't know. On a big plane like that, you might, you know.
Well, if he's in 1A.
You might have six rows of first class and then 15 rows of business and then economy. Yeah.
Told to behave himself. Matthias then grabbed the captain's crotch and shouted, "I am not going to behave myself." And then he tried to throw a punch.
Oh, no.
Tell you what, polo playing investment bankers traditionally have custard arms.
I'm saying this with full confidence, having looked at photos of none of them. I'll fight them all and win. Line them all up. Get me my Hermes boxing gloves. I'm dusting them all up.
Although, you never know these days with the advent of extreme vanity moving toward men who will never need muscles getting muscled up.
Yeah, but yeah, muscles doesn't mean the ability to cop one across the nose.
Absolutely, yeah. They don't know filth. They know lying on a bench, pushing something heavy off their chest.
They've never heard. When you clap both ears at the same time.
They've never heard the Velcro-like sound of them getting ripped off, no less. Yeah, fair bet. We could all bash investment banker, heir to a fortune types. Never became clear whether the captain of the plane was male or female, but I reckon a bloke grabbed at the captain's crotch as the giveaway there, because that escalates from dirty move to sexual assault when it's not a bloke. If we want to move toward across the board equality with sexual assault, we've got to be better as a species and have some standards set up really here. But anyway, different time, isn't it? Something for the future there. A struggle with three flight attendants ensued, which ended with Matthias being handcuffed, shackled, and tied to a seat. Wouldn't have been too hard by the look of him.
Get the Hermes handcuffs and the Hermes rope.
Yeah.
We've got him.
Not too hard. The silk handcuffs. One passenger later stated he was like a man possessed, and he must have been because he's only a little fella.
Yeah.
They didn't really have anywhere to stop. By that stage, there were only a couple of hours left in the flight, so they bravely pushed on to JFK Airport, where the female body inspectors got on board and said, "Ain't nothing but a peanut."
Status arrested.
Matthias, he was brought before federal court on air raid charges, which can face a maximum penalty of 20 years in the clink.
Well, he must laugh when he hears that, though.
Oh, did he ever?
Yeah, there's no way.
Yep. US sentencing guidelines suggest 6 months for those with no previous convictions.
You'd almost come in and go, "My granddad started Hermes. Just save your breath here and tell me what the fine is."
Yeah.
Don't start reading through years and months, and don't bother with incarcerated. What's the fine?
I'd love to know what happened to all those olden days black and white judges, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird types who just go, "Nah, fuck off, mate. One rule for all of us." That's how it is. 20 years in the clink, sucked in. Not many of them around anymore. Craig Walkle, the defence attorney, said Matthias was very sorry about what happened and declined any further comment. They don't really have to talk. They don't want to, even under oath.
You know what's happening there? He can't talk because he's too busy sitting, listening, learning and growing.
Yeah, from the rooftop of a mansion somewhere else, because he doesn't have to go to court. They don't really have to if they don't want to.
He's just butting out a cigarette in his National 7 ashtray, $1,070.
Imagine a $1,000 ashtray. What kind of an ass do you have to be to do that? Should I help some people? No. $1,000 ashtray. Fashion house Hermes were asked to comment, and they said, "Mr. Matthias Gerond," didn't even say his name, Hermes, the hyphenated Hermes, Mr. Matthias Gerond has no role in the company and therefore we have no comment. Pretty good. There's his punishment. As no comments go, I reckon Matthias would have taken that as somewhat of a comment.
Mm.
You know what he got as initial punishment?
Well, I'm going to say a fine.
Not even. He got released on bail of how much?
Oh,
US dollars.
$5,000?
$50,000. Oh. That's what they suggest for the rich.
But that's what I also think that amount too. He's got so much money that you may as well make bail five. You may as well make it $5.
Yeah.
Because regardless of the amount, he could just cover it.
Well, it's just to make the working classes feel like something's happened, I think,
yeah.
Because some people look at that and go, well, that's a lot of money. When you look at, that's like me handing over 1 cent.
Now, I don't know how this works. I don't think I've ever even seen it in a show. When someone's released on bail, like a surety, you've worked with cops before, yeah. ACAB.
All the time.
And but do you have to front up the cat? Do you have to fucking, is it 50 grand in an envelope or something and it sits at the cop shop until you turn back up? How does it work?
I don't know. I mean, I can only go from what I've seen in the movies, which seems to be absolutely correct in America. I think it's just cash or whatever you want. And if you want to they put the amount up really high for druggies and like drug traffickers and stuff.
Yeah.
And Colombians and what have you, and go, yeah, make it 10 million. They just give 10 million and fuck off.
Mm.
So I think it's just, oh, it's all money, isn't it? Everything's about money over there.
You reckon he had it on him? You reckon he opened his Citizen Twill compact wallet, AU 1240, and he had 50
I'd say he just fucking unclipped his watch, just chucked that at the judge, walk out.
Give or take. They're the last words. The stenographer's gotten down. Give or take.
Keep the change, mate. Get yourself something nice. A year later, the charges got dropped without fanfare. Just done.
Hold on.
So, yeah, don't worry about it.
So grab the pilot's dick.
Have a fight.
Hit on a woman, fight three flight attendants.
Nothing.
Zero.
Yeah. In fact, here's your 50 grand back. Why should he have to face the consequences of his actions? His dad's loaded. He plays polo. It's his 37th. Don't know what the deciding factor was in the end. One of those things. An overwhelming amount of evidence in his favour. Dad's rich. In the aftermath, actually, on 12th of March 2010.
He got the 50 grand back.
You get your bail back, don't you, if you're innocent? Fuck. Or not. Am I mistaken? I'm sure you get it back.
Does he go and collect it and chuck it into his Citibank 27 backpack, AU $11,235? Or his Hermes City News briefcase, $9,495.
There's 11 grand backpack. Really? backpacking changes that, doesn't it?
My favourite is the messenger bag, $9,785.
All right. Yeah, messengers doing that.
I don't reckon there's any fucking bike couriers getting around the CBD.
Oh, he's
on a pushy with no brakes. Yeah.
Cube to put on the back of your motorbike and deliver stuff.
Me Hermes Deliveroo Cube.
Yeah. 2010, 12th of March, his wife divorced him.
Oh. That's for her, of course.
1 month later, on 21st of April 2010, what do you reckon Matthias did?
Got married again?
Nope. Ooh. He died of heart complications due to an underlying disease.
Like a rainbow fading in the twinkling of an eye.
I'm not going to say what it is he died of. I mentioned it earlier. I dare say he is pricked up. Death. The great leveller.
So what happened to him? Heart complications.
Heart complications, yeah.
It's broken.
His obituary reads...
Hopefully just the same as his online, just, what was it? A billionaire.
A billionaire with a heart of gold, literally.
Billionaire polo player.
No, it says, Matthias touched everyone with his kindness, generosity and big heart. I know a pilot who agrees with that. Well, including obviously, but not limited to women he fancies when he's maggot and pilots. I tell you what, obituaries are just...
You reckon that pilot's wife got home and there's just a packet of frozen peas on her husband's dick? You go, what's wrong here? What happened to you? Oh, just a kind-hearted man.
Yeah. Touching me with his generosity. What that I mean is his closed fist. Obituaries are just tropes, aren't they? Kindness and generosity. They get commandeered by pretty much everyone when it comes to the dearly departed. If we're to believe eulogies and obituaries, the world is a wonderful place, just full of kindness and kind souls and generous people. Shame they can't stay with us longer. His wife missed a trick though there, didn't she? Divorced him a month too early. The swift hand of a patriarchal billionaire when a woman has the audacity to leave one of his sons would have done some damage to her damage, I reckon.
Mm.
Anyway.
Well, she would have. She probably got half, but had he passed away.
Could have had the lots.
She would have had it all.
Yeah. Well, how much does she need? Maybe she's a kind and generous soul who only wanted half.
Mm.
They usually want more, though. His wedding to her, actually, backtracking a bit, that attracted media attention for its lavish nature.
Oh, yeah, of course. Is it as good as our mate, Salim, that we covered on Land Larrikins?
No, he's no mayor of Auburn. But it,
Deputy mayor.
I beg your pardon. It did start in Paris with more than 450 guests, and it ended in Marrakesh 5 days later via two private jets.
Fucking hell.
Not bad. Good size. Either way.
Imagine when you get that wedding invite.
Yeah.
Like, hey, babe, are we going to fucking Hermes Boy's second wedding? What day is it? It's a Saturday. Saturday, 2 p.m. It's wrapping up at 2 p.m. Oh, I can't wrap at 2 p.m. What the? 2 p.m. Thursday?
Yeah.
The fuck is this?
Yeah.
We meant two locations.
I mean, other country weddings, not on anyway, but multiple country weddings. Oof. Some of us have jobs, mate. Either way, though, what are you planning for your big 37th? Big one?
Couple of years' time. Look out.
Oof.
I should do the same. Paris to New York.
Yeah.
I want a Hermes-themed birthday.
We'll do Paris to New York on your 37th. Just get maggot in first class. Great.
Watch the pilot come out and it's a female and I go, fuck, well, I can't do the full thing now, can I?
Well, you can. The charges are going to go up. You won't be getting out with a slap on the wrist, 50 grand.
That brings us to the end of another episode of Mid-Flight Brawl. Thanks so much for listening in. Thanks for telling your mates. Thanks for all the support. Get around the Patreon if you haven't already. Maybe open up your Hermes City Slide belt bag, $4,845, and chuck a few coins to us each month. If you can. I think Heggie's saving up all of his for a Zip Tablet racing pouch, $6,590.
Oh, fuck. What the fuck is a racing? It's a pencil case, isn't it?
I don't know. I think so.
It's got a zip. Yep.
Maybe a laptop cover.
Good God.
It's all in French on here, so I need you to read the rest.
All right. I'm gone before you keep saying anything more on this. Don't want to hear it.
Get around the live shows, midflightbrawl.com. We really appreciate it. We'll see you next week. Oi.
See you, mate.
Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggie, you're already shaking your head.
It's Mid-Flight Brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.